And, you know, it's really fitting that we have this panel around International Women's Day, right? So we have two amazing data people up here that the Women in Technology Hollywood advisors helped bring in, and we're just super excited you're here, so thank you. So do you guys want to take a moment to introduce yourselves and what your role is in your organization?
I'm Sue Kelsey. I'm Executive Director of Consumer Intelligence at Warner Brothers. At Warner Brothers, we have been concentrated on our direct-to-consumer initiatives for quite some time. We've been collecting consumer data and building rich entertainment profiles on our users. And we use that to drive data-driven marketing for all of our divisions, including theatrical, home entertainment, our games division, television, studio tours, consumer products, every division. We have a foundation of consumer data that we use for our entire company.
Hello, everyone. I'm Duan Peng, Executive Director of Analytics and Fandango. So I'm leading the analytics team to really drive, you know, business growth, customer engagement, and all the key initiatives and strategies across product, content, finance, commerce for Fandango's, you know, like rapid growth over the last few years. Very excited to be here. And before, I'm still new to the media and entertainment industry. So really spent my whole career in, you know, in analytics, data science, on the financial service, and most recently on the auto industry.
Thanks. So what are some of the smart ways the media and entertainment and adjacent industries, as they evolve, what are some of the great ways that you guys have come up with to help engage your customers better with the data?
Nice. So we've been, like I said, we've been building our entertainment profiles. We collect data from a number of different sources. We collect data from DMPs, DSPs, ESPs, every MarTech and AdTech acronym that you can think of. But we essentially, we pull in all this data, we put it into our data warehouse, and we model that data for propensities to, are you likely to see this movie? Are you a video gamer? Are you somebody who buys in the home entertainment window? So what it allows us to do is, at a company like Warner Brothers, everybody knows the brand Warner Brothers, but every time that we open a movie, we're building awareness from square one. Unless it's a sequel, you know, we're building awareness from nothing. And so instead of going out and buying mass media across linear TV, we're trying to shift our strategy to be more data-driven. So we now have a foundation of entertainment profiles where we know what type of movies you like, what actors you like, what genres that you like, whether you buy video games, whether you buy on EST, or, you know, whether you still buy discs. So we use that to essentially power all of our marketing and advertising spend at Warner Brothers.
Yeah, I think, you know, so Fandango, I don't know, you know, like people familiar, so traditional is more, you know, on the movie ticketing side and is very transactional. And with, you know, most recently, you know, the acquisition of MGO, now Fandango Now. So we expand, you know, from the big screens now also to the home entertainment side, and also with Rotten Tomatoes and Flixster. So really, you know, right now we kind of, you know, on the top of, you know, like how are we going to drive, you know, our customer engagement and experience, you know, over the whole, I would say, in the movie life cycle from the, you know, the theaters now to your home. So leveraging the rich customer information and how we really turn the, you know, the data, customer data we have internally and also from other third parties, and then using the, you know, predictive modeling, machine learning, you know, data science techniques, and drive, you know, the all the, you know, like propensity models and customer lifetime value models, and how we're going to use those to, you know, really help us to better, you know, drive marketing and product strategy. So this is really on the core of our business and the mission for analytics.
Yeah, Duan and I were talking earlier. I think we do very, very similar things. At the end of the day, we both want to sell movies.
Yes.
So, you know, data sets are getting bigger and bigger and more complex, and everyone's demanding more data. How are you guys dealing with that?
My group is called Data Intelligence, and so we want to collect all the data that we can. There are some challenges with that. There's sets of data. There's been a lot of talk about metadata today. There's sets of data that we just can't map together. We can't map it across consumer profiles. We can't map titles from one source to another. So that can be challenging. But essentially, you know, we try and take as much data we can around our titles, around our consumers, and we test and learn. We essentially push out our creatives into different advertising channels, into different types of marketing campaigns, into social channels. Mm-hmm. And we continually test. We try and figure out what's working. And with every interaction that you have, whether you buy a ticket or you buy a video game, you respond to an ad, maybe you actually, you know, watch a trailer all the way to the end, we collect that data point so we can more effectively market to you going forward and drive the correct personalized content to you.
Yeah, I think it's sad. It's kind of similar challenges around the data, right? So you always want, you know, like talk about big data, but also I think this like relevant, right, data you need to have to really help, you know, drive your intelligence. So sometimes it's not like about the size of the data. It's really about, you know, the right information you need to have, right, for your customers and for the type of the, you know, the business impact you're driving here. So again, right, you know, so I'm an analytics person. I just love data, but I would say really, you know, even you talk about big data, data science, still, you know, it's the information, how you're going to use it, and how you're going to leverage, you know, for your business to really show the impact. So that's, I think it's, you know, everything serves kind of the right purpose, yeah.
And we have some challenges around data in that, you know, a lot of our data is locked away in walled gardens. We send a lot of our first-party audiences to Google and Facebook and YouTube, Snapchat, and we don't get, you know, user-level transaction data back, essentially. So it doesn't mean that it's not usable. I mean, it's certainly very valuable still. We get kind of aggregate reporting back. But, you know, in an ideal situation, we would get all of that data back. We would be able to tie it to our specific consumer data. So then we could continue with the modeling and the learning and the, you know, and the propensities going forward. But that ends up being, you know, useful. But without getting the data back, it's not quite as useful as we would like for it to be. So that's a big challenge right now.
Challenge, clean data. And Jason said on the opening panel, he'd rather not have the metadata if it's wrong. So no metadata versus bad metadata.
Absolutely. A lot of our metadata is still kind of human curated.
Sure.
A lot of our tagging and things like that are done not in an automated fashion. So I mean, I can tell you that we have an upcoming movie, Chips. If you miscode Chips and you say that it's a family animation film, we are not going to get to the right audience targets. And no matter how good your models are, the advertising's not going to be very good. So yeah, that's a challenge.
Yeah. So yeah, I think, you know, definitely. Again, I think so, from a lot of those, you know, analytics projects we're doing here, we just really want to kind of find out, you know, what is the information, you know, like we can really leverage and continuous what information we can, you know, find out. Mm-hmm. So whether it's internal and also, you know, kind of, I think, you know, Sue mentioned the challenge from other, you know, external data and the matching, you know, to basically have the common ID, that's really, you know, continuous going to be a challenge to really know that at individual level. So we'll just do what, you know, what data we have and just continue to find out the opportunity, you know, with what the right information we need to continue to acquire and improve our modeling.
The ID mapping is always a challenge. I mean, I'm sure particularly the people in this room, being a technology crowd, I'm sure everybody has, you know, 6 to 10 devices, you know, probably more per household. If we're trying to get our trailer to you, how many wasted impressions go to the fact that we, you know, now targeted you on 7 different devices 5 times and you've seen the trailer 35 times and you're ready to kill us? You know, it's constant. Like, I think the ad tech and the marketing technologies are getting better at the ID mapping. There's a lot of third-party data partners that do that for us, but, you know, that's still constantly a challenge.
Yeah. And using the data hub and clean data to help monetize your content, what some of the challenges and solutions are you guys coming up with, particularly with monetization? It's all about monetizing your content.
I mean, our main strategy right now around monetization is to be more efficient in our marketing and advertising spend. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's some Warner Brothers people here. Our CEO, Kevin Sitohara, came out and said that we are going to save $200 million, 10% of our marketing budget because of data. That has really created a data-driven culture among our marketing and media teams. And, our group, our data intelligence and consumer intelligence group, we are doing everything we can to collect as much data as possible to power that, to power those savings.
Excellent. Yeah, so it's not just like monetization, it's efficiency and money.
Yeah, for us, it's definitely efficiency.
And I can see, you know, a couple of things. One is, you know, definitely and Fandango basically kind of want to move not just only on the transactional level, but also moving into the whole customer experience. When you talk about the customer engagement, right, and you want to, you know, build this whole, you know, from the, you know, the big screen and theaters and home entertainment, and then you want to build a whole kind of, you know, customer life cycle experience. So that, I think, you know, with a lot of the data we know about the customers and try to really turn the data to really understand, you know, at any time, any device, and what customer would like to see, you know, what is a, you know, marketing or, you know, promotions that we can really, you know, to run for the customers. So those type of things together definitely will have a huge impact, you know, for the business and to drive this, you know, customer engagement and continuous business growth. And also I think, you know, data itself is really powerful, you know, that you basically, you know, use the data and you do this, you know, crazy machine learning data science, you know, getting the algorithm, I think definitely drive, you know, huge on the efficiency. And then also just turn this into powerful analytic products and service, you know, in the end to, you know, what we try to also help the studios. So those are just kind of different ways that we can turn data and analytics into, you know, help both internally and also, you know, to drive as a product to, you know, even to outside market.
Yeah. So the timeliness of the data, extremely important. Getting it to your market, getting it to your consumers.
Yes, it's extremely important. I will tell you that a post-campaign report a month after a title releases is not that helpful. You know, we're really trying to push real-time reporting as best as our data sources will allow us to do, so we can make in-campaign changes. We want to see which creatives are working. We want to see which audiences are working. We want to see which audiences are working with which creatives and whatnot. We also want to see if there's any anomalies in, you know, the information that's being sent out. If we get the data back within in a timely manner, and it's understandable, it's presentable to our marketing and media teams, then we can make, you know, real-time decisions on our media spend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think, you know, the real time is also very important, because, you know, you think about, you know, the type of information, and then you want to, you know, like also the engagement with your customers, right? and you know something that customer, you know, kind of they show the interest, and then, you know, on the website or on the different devices, and you want to really serve them real time, right? Getting your marketing and then get the contact. So, you know, serve the right content. So I think the all the analytics, you know, again, we also try to operationalize a lot of like modeling we're doing here to really serve real-time, you know, marketing and product purpose. So that's, I think, also very key piece into, you know, the whole ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. I think it's relatively unique to our industry. You know, you have other industries where you sell, you know, a car or an insurance product or a financial service, and, you know, those, or consumer products, they tend to be kind of evergreen brands that you have a chance to go after them one, you know, over and over and over again if you don't get it right the first time. I mean, we have very limited windows in the time that, you know, a movie's going to go out. You know, campaigns tend to be 2 to 3 weeks right before a title opens, and that's your only shot. So real time is very, very important.
Yep. Especially in the social media space.
Yes, definitely.
It's totally relevant with, you know, what are your customers talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, social media is really important. So in this room, who has cut the cord in television? Anybody? So, you know, traditionally, all of our advertising was TV-based. We have 30-second trailers on linear TV. A lot of money goes into linear TV. But there were a lot of people in this room, I want to say that was over half, that was pretty incredible, that have cut the cord to TV. That means that we're not going to be able to get to you with our trailers and our advertising. So we have to find you somewhere else. We have to find you through your social ID, through your social handles. We have to find you through your mobile ID, your email address, you know, whatever it is that we have on you, maybe a cookie. So social is really important. The virality of social is really important. You know, it's less, you know, what did, you know, this famous, you know, reviewer say about the movie. It's more about what your friends are saying about the movies now.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, you will find, you know, the influencers, right, in your social network, and how you're going to connect with, you know, the right people to really, you know, kind of, you know, get your, you know, sentiment over there, you know, around, you know, your contents, right, you know, the movies, and leveraging that data that right now we have. Rotten Tomatoes is kind of a, you know, a big, you know, like editorial review, but, you know, how are we going to, you know, really leverage that data, you know, in the way that, you know, people talk about the movies, the TVs, and how we drive, you know, more awareness and turn that into, you know, kind of better engagement and purchase. So that's very critical for our business.
So in the end, okay.
I was going to say, you know, in the Rotten Tomatoes reviews, like, it's interesting now because, you know, they have the editorial reviews, but now it's so user-powered now. So it is really more about your peers and what they think about the movies. Like, maybe the reviewers didn't like it, but, you know, a lot of these big-budget popcorn movies, you know, the people said it was good, even if the snooty reviewers didn't like it.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of probably, you know, kind of look at the, you know, the information, how really, you know, like turn those, you know, sentiment and, you know, the discussions and things all around it, and how we're going to really get the insights from it. So a lot of analytics effort into that. Yeah.
What are some of the big challenges with that? I know you said reaching your audience, you know, trying to find them if they don't have the TV set, right?
That's the beauty of the kind of crossroads right now of digital and data science. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be on TV. We can still find you.
Yeah. I think it's kind of find, you know, also find the right customer you want to acquire, right? Mm-hmm. So if you know, like, you know, if you kind of, again, back to, you know, we do this customer lifetime value, basically really understand, you know, who are your high-value customers, and then you want to really acquire those type of customers. Again, there's, you know, specific, you know, strategies and channels, but I think it still come back to, you know, you need to understand, you know, who your customers, who are your most valuable customers and how to acquire them, right? So.
But, I mean, there's a lot of other challenges in the data business. I know Juan and I were actually talking about this earlier. One of our biggest challenges is actually recruiting and hiring. I know we're on a women in technology panel. I mean, certainly recruiting women, but really recruiting anybody. We have a dozen positions open for data scientists, data engineers, marketing analysts, and you know, it's a blessing and a curse. We have an industry, an initiative that is really important. It's really hot. But at the same time, every company is looking for the same type of talent. And I feel like especially around data science, unless you're Netflix, the data scientists tend to go to financial services companies or insurance companies or things like that. They don't really think of the big studios mm-hmm. as a place to be able to apply their data science talents. And even though I think we have a pretty sophisticated data operation, I think we have to really start getting the word out there that, you know, we're doing this too, and it's a lot more fun to work for entertainment than a lot of these other industries.
I really think it's a kind of, you know, you know, like everybody is looking for, say, unicorn, you know, of type of person for data science. You want this person like have the hard, you know, coding skills, you know, statistical modeling, and then know the business and how to tell the story, you know, everything. It is hard to find unicorns. It's definitely, you know, kind of a challenge across different industries I have seen. But again, you know, like even more, I think it's in the, like, you know, technology in the women, you know. So I think a couple of weeks ago I saw a survey, just like I think only like 20% or less than 20% really women this you know, data science or hardcore technology side. So I definitely think there's a big opportunity for a lot of women, and then, you know, even like newly graduates to just get into this you know, not scary, but really exciting area, you know, to, you know, do the data science and, you know, technology. And this is really the kind of the future of all the industries. So I think, you know, there's a big opportunity.
Not just with media and entertainment, like you said. All these industries are struggling with trying to get great talent to help them mine and monetize their data. Mm-hmm. Huge, huge challenge.
And I think, you know, the you know, data science, again, we just say, you know, although we all want to find the unicorns, mm-hmm. but you know, end of day, I think it's just it's evolving, right? So probably before, you know, you talk about use a word, you know, like a statistician, and then later on data science, you know, like now you have machine learning, artificial intelligence. It's just kind of evolving. So don't be kind of just scared about the terminology, but it's still like we just try to wrangle the data and do something with the data and find, you know, some type of useful algorithm and really, you know, show some business impact. Mm-hmm. So it's very fun, and you know, I think it's definitely, you know, see if, especially for the women's, right, you know, want to get into this field.
Yeah, I had a conversation with a gentleman earlier today who started a job 3 weeks ago, you know who you are. And he was saying he has a degree in engineering, but he loves data. So he's, you know, working with one of the studios and trying to create operational efficiencies with the data that they have. So, you know, when you're recruiting people, I guess you don't typically, or you don't specifically have to have a data science degree. So what would the ideal, like, data person for your groups look like?
You know, again, I think I'm not looking for like a unicorn. I think it's very hard to find. If I'm lucky to find one, you know, so happy. But the data science, I think, is now in the kind of, you know, the different sides, right? You have the, you know, like more engineering, you know, computer science engineering background, but also, you know, a lot from the social science, like, you know, psychology, and then, you know, statistics, but in a way. And then, so it's really, I think, the combinations of, you know, different disciplines. And again, I think it's anybody like who actually is you curious about the data and you want to keep learning the new, you know, kind of the new approach, new techniques. And then that's really, I think, what we're looking for. I think the curiosity is very important. It's just keep learning. Because this field is, like, changing very fast. Every, you know, every month, you know, every year is just something new happening, right? You know, big data technology, you know, some of the new techniques. So having that curiosity and keep learning is I think, the must.
I totally agree with that. And, you know, and I want to add, Duwan comes from, you know, a more traditional data science field. I am not personally a data scientist, but I can tell you that you can also be, you know, working with data and in the data industry without, you know, engineering or statistics. You know, there's a lot of ad tech and mark tech companies right now. You know, we use a lot of different tools to help us drive data-driven analytics and data-driven marketing and advertising. These tools, you know, a lot of it is just kind of setting up data a certain way. It's looking at the data when it comes in. It's a natural curiosity to figure out what happened, why it happened, and how you could do it again better. So, you know, there's a lot of different flavors of jobs in data. Even if you're not a data scientist per se, you definitely don't have to be scared off.
Yeah, so you have good, clean data. You have data gurus. Yes. And you're creating this great customer experience. So do we have questions from the audience for the data gurus?
Hang tight. I'll get your microphone. It's a labyrinth. Thank you. This could be a question many of us have, and for either of you, but I'll use Fandango to illustrate. I think you may have touched on this earlier, but you have Fandango, MGO, Flixster, Rotten Tomatoes. How do you know that if I'm in all those four places, how do you know I'm four people or the same person in four different places, and what do you do with that data? And that could be all the Warner Brothers sites, and it could be, you know, Sony PlayStation and Sony Pictures and Sony Music, and could be any company. I think everybody has this challenge.
Yeah, I don't have a good answer for now, right? You know, so we are still trying to really figure out and how to, you know, identify, you know, the customer across different platforms, across different devices, right, internally and also across the studios. So that's kind of, you know, the, I think it's very critical for us as a part of building this, you know, like enterprise, you know, customer repository and, you know, the data strategy. Again, I think there's some, you know, the algorithm, you know, we're working on, but yeah, we don't have the perfect solution. That's what we're trying.
There are some tools that do help with that. You know, if you have, you know, certain types of tags on your site, certainly web analytics tags do it. But, you know, in our case, we use DMPs, data management platforms. And if you visited multiple areas of our site, if you went to DC Comics and then you went to a movie website, we would be able to tell that you are the same person.
Any other questions?
Oh. Nadia has a question.
Hi, everyone. Nadia Ichinamiya. You know, we're basically all in the storytelling business. And so I thought it would be great to kind of put you on the spot and to see if each of you have a story of where data saved the day, where some crucial piece of data was timely enough or important enough or different enough that swayed a decision, made a decision in a marketing campaign where it really where data was the hero. Do you have a story like that?
So I can come up with an example. I don't know if it's so much saving the day, but we have we had a couple campaigns where, you know, our whole goal right now is to use as much first-party data as possible. The first-party data being we know that you're an entertainment consumer. We know that you like certain types of content. As we're, you know, still building up our consumer database, we have these big marketing and advertising spends that go out. And a lot of times we don't have enough data to, you know, be able to spend all of that. And so instead of going out and buying third-party data, we have, you know, kind of the fortunate instance of that we're part of a bigger company, Time Warner, and we have sister companies, HBO and Turner, that also have entertainment content. And so we've actually opened up the lines between our companies, and we've started data sharing between our companies. So I think the original example for this, if you're looking for a specific case, is when HBO was launching Ballers, we had just finished our campaign for San Andreas. The common thread there is The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. And so we had, you know, a big Dwayne Johnson fan base that we sent to HBO for their campaign. That segment ended up being the best performing segment for that particular campaign. Then we benefited from that coming back, that Ballers segment and everybody else that they sent to that reacted positively. We then could use that for our other Dwayne Johnson title, Central Intelligence, that came out late last year. So there's a lot of data sharing that goes back and forth. A lot of that saves the day. There's a couple of things that come from it. Buying third-party data is more expensive than being able to activate our own first-party data, so there's like a data savings there. And then also we went out and found more entertainment fans that were similar, that were likely to respond.
Great.
Awesome.
Thank you, ladies, so much. This was great fun for me.
Thank you for having us. This was great. And I'm really excited to hear about this organization.
A huge thank you to Nadia and Rachel and the WITH organization to help put this all together,
Absolutely.
This panel together.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.